I think this is working.
It's the one with the red circle on it.
It is. Numbers are changing.
Who remembers anything? Who remembers anything?
Fuck.
I don't remember anything, if I'm honest.
I've got it written down.
That's all right. I can definitely assist.
Oh, yeah. He was a bit of a moody arsehole, weren't he?
No, he wasn't. He's a lovely man.
I don't think we got on, did we, him and Carrion?
Did they not?
I don't know.
Oh, no, he doesn't necessarily believe you guys exist. I do remember. We were walking through. Yeah, he was having a dream. Yeah, that's what it is.
We'll come back to that because we can have that discussion.
Save it.
I'm going to...
Gold, mate, that is.
Formally, welcome, everybody, to the Dice and Die Show. Oh, my God.
Hello.
We're here. Well, most of us are here. We're still missing our illustrious Luke.
If anyone's seen him, let us know.
No.
He's not a missing person. He's not in a milk carton. We know where he is.
Sitting there looking at you over your cocoa pops.
He will be returning really shortly, hopefully within one or two podcasts, I think. Getting his stuff situated, ready to join us. We have, in the meantime, been playing around with a new campaign, which... I am hosting. I should probably introduce everyone, shouldn't I?
Yeah, come on.
I'm Lisa. Hi. I'm what would Luke say in this spot? I'm your best friend. I'm your dungeon master. I'm your all of those things. For the time being, at least. I'm a sort of temporary stand-in dungeon master. And I'm running the Curse of Strahd for these fuckers. Sean.
Hello.
Hello.
You're right. It's just weird. We haven't done this for a while, probably. It's really awkward, isn't it?
We don't have our usual host, and nothing's normal. Everything's weird.
Yes.
So we're doing this kind of strangely. But how are you? Are you all right?
Yes, all good. As we was discussing before recording, we're both working on sort of a new project, which is not stressful, but just busy at the minute.
Yeah, and the schools have gone back now after the
pandemic
lifting.
You're in contact with kids. Ugh.
Yeah, I know, it's gross. let's chat to James, get James's take on it. James, man in the field.
What?
How you doing?
What happened?
What happened?
I missed it.
I'm just introducing you, babe. How are you?
Hello. Yeah, I'm okay. I'm all right.
Are you excited to play some goddamn D&D?
I am very, very excited to play, actually.
Oh, yes. It's good fun, isn't it? I've missed it a lot.
Me too.
We played a little game zero pre-podcast recording just to get acquainted with some new characters ourselves and our character sheets and a bit of the setting and stuff, which I'll do a recap for in a sec. Gavin. Hi, Gavin. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm good, thank you.
Gavin's first game was full of sex and deception.
Yeah.
Just like most of
Gavin. Intrigue.
I know.
Yeah.
It was very spicy, wasn't it?
Yeah, and wandering through a forest.
Yep, not naked, almost naked, but not naked.
Not naked, semi.
Hope that you enjoyed that experience, Gab. Glad that I could write that for you.
I don't know why I giggle at the word semi.
I did too.
I thought I heard someone laugh.
Because you're all children, that's why, and so am I, because I also giggled too. Lovely. What have we been up to, lads? I mean, we just mentioned that, you know, Sean and I are working on something audio-based.
I mean, yeah, fuck it, let's plug it. To all four people listening. So we're producing for a new online radio station called Great British Radio. And it's something a little bit different. It's to celebrate all things British and, the wonderful mixed bag that we are as a country, and its ups and its downs. And it's just lighthearted. It says interview, you know, we're not a headline grabbing radio show. We're not after the headlines. It's little bits and pieces in sort of 5 minute segments mixed up throughout the day, so you never quite know what you're tuning into. There's interviews with people like Joe Pasquale, lots of sort of comedians.
Shane Ritchie
was on
Ferguson.
There, and we've got Cheryl Baker hosting, Mike Osman, Linda Lusardi, Sam Kane. So it's just a nice little mixed bag of everything. So we're hacking away at that behind the scenes because we launch on this Sunday. I'm not sure when this podcast is going up.
So it would be Sunday the 28th of March. So if this will definitely go out after that, probably.
Yeah.
Check us out, Great British Radio.
I think
there's an app and everything.
There's a website, Great British Radio. Have a look. You can play it on there. And I think if you enable it on Alexa, you can be like, Alexa, play Great British Radio. There we go.
Now, considering this is probably going to go out after the launch, I just want to tell you guys about something that I've been editing. Nanny Gwen. Oh, my God. She's incredible. She's a 96, I think, year old woman. And they've done a long form interview with her about her life. And my God, has she had an interesting life. And you know, when you just think, God, I wish, you know, there's people in my life that I wish I'd sat and had this conversation with.
Right.
Like, ask them about their teenagers. Like,
I'm one of the few people that I know that I actually love having conversations with.
Oh, it's so good, James.
They know so much.
She's incredible. And this is kind of, I suppose this is the eve of the station. It's not really about celebrity or headline grabbing or anything like that. It's about people's life stories.
Yeah, there's interviews with
comedy in there and
people
light entertainment,
famous, so to speak. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And this woman, well, it's good. That's what I'll say. It's very, very entertaining. And I think, like, I don't know anyone who doesn't love a good chat with someone in the older generation. Like, when you get really juicy, like, parts of their life story, it's just good fun. So, yeah, that's part of what the radio station's about, a small part of what the radio station's about. Gav, have you been curating any shows recently?
No.
James,
are
what
you still
about?
Any shows as in what?
At the old Somerset House.
No, nothing. Somerset. Nothing is on at the moment. We're still very much closed. I think it's the 14th of April. They are opening dining pods on the upper terrace, the river terrace. Sorry, so. And I think that the terrace bar is going to be making an appearance because it's outdoor drinking and stuff. So that will be very much coming back this year.
They've got to put some money in, haven't they? Bless them. They
built the bar last year, but it just literally was built and then it went, right, everything's closed.
<laughs> It closed.
I spent all the money building it and then they shut it. So,
yeah, I think, you know, we're starting to get into that phase of people talking about these different things happening. I've got my jab this week.
Oh, good luck.
I've got my jab on Thursday. Yeah, you didn't react well to yours, Sean.
I've had mine. It was fucking horrible.
Which one did
better
you
than
have?
Dying, but Alka-Seltzer, whatever it's called. That
AstraZeneca.
One. That's it. It was powerful. It was shit. It was really bad.
Well, it just made you feel rubbish.
I was just sort of, you know, I'm a man as well, so I didn't, you know, I'm sure it was fine for anyone else, but it bedded me for a couple of days. That sounds
weird. I know some people that have had really bad sort of shitty reactions, but
apparently my mum was rough for a day, but she was fine after.
Yeah, apparently the younger you are, the worse it is.
That's all right then.
I don't know anyone who's had any bad serious reactions.
No, nothing serious.
Oh,
at
no,
all.
I was literally, it was like flu symptoms. It was achy, unable to move, you know, all that.
Well, I remember COVID, getting, I suppose, something similar to, no, I remember getting something similar to that for one of the ones I had for Thailand.
Right.
I can't remember which one it was, but I think some of them just do that. They do that, make you feel a bit fluey.
That's what they're
the side effects
to do,
are basically flu symptoms.
Yeah. Mm. I had the same when I had the flu jab as well, before all of this. Yeah. I had it wasn't as bad, but it was a similar feeling, you know. So it's all to do with that sort of stuff, isn't it? But yeah, good luck.
Thanks. I'll give you best.
You get a sticker though, so you know, swings and roundabouts.
I want a lollipop, mate.
Yeah, you don't get them no more, do you? Like, ever since I've been about 15, 16, they've stopped giving them to me.
Yeah.
That's why you should just always go to your pediatrician.
Maybe 16's too old to be getting a lollipop. I don't know.
I'm not threatening them at that age, but that's all right.
Yeah, you're a fucking lollipop. I'm not sure that was supposed to happen.
Do you know what the weirdest thing about all this is, just before we get started, is that we're on season 2. Obviously, season 1 has hit a bit of a cliffhanger moment, and we return to that at a later date. I thought I should announce that as well.
Oh, yeah, we might end up releasing all of season 1, and this might come out like in 2023. Who knows?
Yeah, this may never go anywhere. We'll see. But here's the weird thing. I thought by the time we were playing Strahd, which is something that's always kind of been on the list of what to do next, that we would be nowhere near Roll 20, nowhere near recording, streaming, would be in someone's house or garden.
In person.
Yeah, it's mental, yeah. Isn't it?
It will happen.
I didn't think that, admittedly. It's never really occurred to me that this might end.
Yeah, well, the way we're doing it.
Yeah, you've just made me think about it now. It's never really occurred to me that it won't be. I've always thought that we'll be doing this for about 400 years.
To be honest, though, we probably should carry on like this because it's easier because, you know, Luke lives far away from all of us anyway.
That is true. I think
it's the best way of doing it.
That's actually a really good shout. I think we probably will do that. And
I bought a microphone now, so we have to.
Do you think the guy sitting in the red chair looks a little bit like Gav's character?
Yeah, I'm a bit suspicious about that.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, is he like the pockish?
Is this revenge, is it? A pockish one.
He is also a cunt.
I was listening, right? So the last episode is ready to go out. Yeah. I've just got to add a little disclaimer on the end. But I love how, like, you just laid into Pock. It was fucking funny. Hilarious.
Genuinely angry with him.
Yeah, I know. I could hear it.
I am still not happy about that situation. That's what a good D&D game should.
Book, isn't it? It's like when you're reading like a fantasy book and like one of your favourite characters like fucks everyone over. And you're like, I'm putting this down. I'll pick it up again in 8 months.
When I've got over it. Okay. Well. So we had a little brief conversation about what people remembered from our Game Zero. I'm going to give you a little bit of background.
I love the music.
On a narrow cobbled street, an unlikely band of fellows gather at the window of a dimly lit... They found themselves in an unusual land, strange in its familiarity to them and in its nature. This small village feels oppressive, cold, and cold. As each considers in a brief moment how they came to be here, in the village of Barovia, Carrion, a human cleric, laden with armour and heavy mace, remembers the gypsy encampment where he was captivated by a story tied with his own destiny and his desire to understand his calling. Hempy, a human monk, robed, stoic, and meditative, considers his letter a call for help from a burgomaster in distress. A further conflicting note that clouds the purpose of the first, but nonetheless, this path appears righteous. And then there's Aranis, an elven rogue, open shirt, leather pants, scratching his chin, thinking about how he didn't notice the bite marks on the wench before she attacked. Schoolboy error. Big mistake. They all consider the strange mist. They didn't really try to traverse it that hard. It did seem as though they couldn't quite escape it, and that their destinies were somehow now forever intertwined. They've not discussed much of what transpired, but nevertheless, here they stand. Okay. So there's no way for me to fade out the music, so I'll just let it go for a bit and then stop. So that's your job.
Fade out in post. Lovely. Cool.
So here we are. Did that give you guys a little bit of a reminder of what happened last couple of games, last session zero?
Yeah.
I'm glad you reminded me of the letter.
Yes, I do still have the copies of those if you need them.
Yes, I have that anyway.
You had found yourself, like I said, heading into what appeared to be a very dingy village, town, cobblestone streets, very kind of pointy iron gothic architecture, very unusual for what you're used to in Waterdeep proper. You all instinctually headed towards the one kind of source of indoor light that you could find, which was the light shining from inside of an inn. Does anyone remember what the inn was called? Isn't a test, don't worry.
No.
I may have it down.
No idea.
It was the Blood on the Vine Tavern.
I thought it was just going to be like White Horse or something.
They usually are. The Red Lion. So a single shaft of light thrusts illumination in the main square, its brightness looking like a solid pillar in the heavy fog. Above the gaping doorway, a sign hangs precariously askew, proclaiming this to be the Blood on the Vine Tavern. I believe at that point, Carrion had looked inside.
Yes, I found a lady.
In the window.
You done what?
I did a search for anyone who looked like the gypsy troop that I previously see. And I believe an old lady was pointed out to me.
Yes, there was a Vistani person, gypsy person inside. You had, I believe Hempy had headed inside and demanded tea.
Yes, I had. And some privacy.
Tea and some privacy. And that closed off the last
episode,
that was game zero. Carrion, you have eyeballed at least this Vistani woman sitting on a small table with two other empty chairs near to the bar. There is a male barkeep standing behind the bar, doing what barkeeps do, you know, cleaning glasses, making eye contact with people awkwardly. There's a couple of odd, what you would assume to be Barovians in very grey, drab dress, slunked over, bad posture over their pints of ale, kind of paying a little bit of attention to you as you walk in, but then kind of looking away. There is a human male sitting at the bar as a customer. And as you guys walk in, from a door in the back, two further gypsy women in the full Vistani regalia, bright purples, golds, reds, billowy shirts and dresses and skirts, walk in through the back door to join the other ladies. So there is three gypsy women at a table together. They're a little bit louder than anyone else in the bar. They've got some glasses of wine. They're kind of having a little bit of a jovial chat. What would you guys like to do?
Have I got my tea yet?
So you're at the bar with the barman. So you've demanded tea and some privacy.
Yeah. Well, not so much demanding, but yeah.
Oh, you've asked for tea.
Insisted. I'm kind of insistful, but yeah.
The gentleman looks to you. He doesn't really give any particular expression. He's got very dark, sunken, deep eyes. He gives you a nod, and you asked for privacy, yes?
Yes, I did, yes.
He said, you want in a room?
I'd like a room for me and my guests.
How many?
One, two, three. Three.
I've only got one room.
Okay, well, that will...
bunk up together, you're welcome to have it.
Yeah. Well, that was...
Six gold.
Six gold. I'll put 10 gold down and I'll save my, you know... I want it to be a safe room. I don't want to be disturbed, you know.
He picks up the 10 gold. He looks at it, he looks at you. He chuckles to himself. He says, for 10 gold, it can be a safe room. It can be a fucking sex room. Okay. Whatever you want, mate. Pockets also, 10 gold. Goes, well, I'll get on that tea for you.
Also, I have one more question for you.
I'll
put another 5 gold down on the bar. I need to speak to Kolyan Indirovich. I need you to arrange that for me. The Burgomaster.
Our Burgomaster. I'm sure I can have that done for you, no problem. Lickety split, sir. Takes the gold.
Lickety split. What the fuck?
Lickety split. He's Dick Van Dyke. Mary Poppins.
Yeah, well,
guys,
I mean,
all of my characters are from the Mary Poppins universe. I don't know if you realise.
I will go to the penguin in a boat.
15 gold.
15 gold you spent.
He
goes, yeah, I know who that is. I can see what I can. I'll take care of that.
Send him to my room once you find him.
Yes, sir.
Have him washed and sent to my room.
See, this is the thing with my guy, is even though he is quite clever and all of that, he's not very. He's a little bit arrogant and a little bit. He thinks that everyone who's foreign to him is probably a little bit dumb.
He's
and a little bit below him.
Judgmental and also a little bit socially inept because of it.
He's a bit
doesn't
stupid
really
like
appreciate
that.
The sort of guy puts charm.
Yeah. Sort of guy who puts 15 gold down on the counter in an inn he's never been to without any thought of who might be watching.
Sort of guy who's never paid for an inn room before thinks this is appropriate. Cool.
So
the barkeep takes your cash. He says, I will get him to you on the morrow, sir.
Okay.
In the meantime, tea, yes?
Yes, please. In my rooms, please.
There is one room, plural, it's, would not apply here, sir, but you have tea in your room, not a problem.
Yeah, brilliant.
So he's going to go ahead and take a moment to turn and kind of, he's looking for some items, probably to make your tea with, and maybe a key to the specific room that you've acquired. As he turns, he kind of stops and catches the eye of one of the Vistani ladies.
Sorry, can I do a perception on what tea things he grabbed? Is it in?
You may.
Yes, please.
Just as note, I'm walking over. I was going to aim for a space on the bar between the gypsy ladies and the guy that was there while this is happening.
No problem. So, tea-wise, from behind the bar, he's just picking up empty containers. So nothing has happened with regards to making your tea there, I think. He will likely head out back to do that in a moment.
All right. I just don't want him, to get one over on me.
For sure.
give you some fucking twinings or some shit like that.
Yeah. He's not hiding. Yeah, he's English breakfast tea. In very common. Yeah. He's not hiding anything from you. You perceive, he seems to be on the up and up at the moment. As this kind of all happens at once, he's turning, picking up his, teapot, if you like. And as he does so, he sort of looks in the Vistani direction as Carrion approaches the bar and also pauses there. That snaps his eyeline back to you, and he says, "Oh, hello, right, sir. Can I get you anything?"
Good evening. What would they be drinking? Red wine.
What the ladies?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, I'll have a bottle of your finest red wine, please, Governor.
Oh, that would be the. Okay, that would be. I actually had the name of the wine here somewhere, but I've lost it.
Oh wow. Okay.
That will be for sure. Dragon's blood wine.
Oh, very nice. I've heard of.
It's quite pricey for the bottle. Are you sure you want to?
How much are we talking here?
60 gold.
60 gold. Lovely. Just put it on that fella at the end's tab. The fella in the robes. Yeah.
The bar is not that big.
I'm literally standing next to him.
You lift your arm up and your hand is his face. This fella here,
Yeah, I believe he's taking the tab.
Can I just look at him with indignancy and say, it's a Catan?
I'll turn around and go, bless you.
The barkeep stands there and nods and looks and...
Do you know what? Fuck it. I'll have... Tell you what, I'll do you a deal. I'll have the bottle that's the one under that one, please. Thank you.
Sounds like you in a bar. The barkeep looks a little bit confused for a second, and then you hear a female voice pipe up. Can't you see that these guys are new in town? They're travellers, clearly. We should be giving them much better hospitality than we are right now, Arik. Arik looks over to the gypsies at the table, and in an understanding way, he puts his hand in his pocket begrudgingly and takes out 20 gold and gives it back to MP. 15 gold, rather. You almost made a profit then. And he goes, your first night is free, sir. Your tea will be ready shortly. And he goes off to do his thing. Not before coming back with two glasses of fine red wine, handing one to you and hands the second one to you, nodding at... Arianis, knowing that you've all kind of walked in together, making sure that you both have a drink should you want one. He's going to put her off and do his thing. The lady says to you, compliments of the house, my friend.
Oh, it was very kind of you. Although I did ask for the bottle, but we'll move on. It's fine. well, ladies, thank you very much. And I sort of chink, go to hold my glass up for them to chink.
So you... look over, and she, the lady that's talking to you, did have a hooded robe, kind of half covering the back of her head, a little bit concealed. So she lifts it off, and you do see her now to be a quite young, beautiful Vistani woman. From the outside looking in, you swear she was older.
Actually, also, wasn't there a thing when we looked through the window? They all looked at us and snapped their heads away.
Stopped, yeah.
Yeah, there was a weird thing happened, wasn't it?
That happened to you. didn't
it? Yeah. Did it? Okay, right.
I believe that was just you.
Yeah, I don't think I saw it or remember it.
Yeah, I think so.
Just remember it happening.
Yeah, just to like, so for that moment, basically, Aranis and Hempy kind of headed to the door. You paused and looked in the window. And in that moment, you perceived everyone in that bar very quickly staring, looking at you, holding for a beat, and then going back to the business.
Okay.
Looking at you outside the window, you know, everyone's eyes on you in that moment. And it made your heart skip a beat.
I'm going to sort of turn around and give a little kind of head. Come over here, nod to our sexy.
Yeah, did you say she was hot?
No, I said she was hot. What about you?
Young, about you.
She's young, I'm young and beautiful. Over. Yeah, no, but I was saying though, you said she's young and beautiful, and now my interest is peaked.
So, okay. Coming over.
So Aranis puts down whatever he was doing before and
puts her down.
Yeah. Rolls over.
So. Aranis, swinging his hips, comes into the sort of centre of the frame. And
I'll introduce everyone, I think.
Yeah.
I'll be like, hello, please.
Do we even know who Hempy is yet? Has he told us his name?
I don't think so, actually. No. So I'll be like, oh, the name's, ladies, thank you for your hospitality. The name's Refna, Carrion Refna. And this is my good lady friend, Aranis. I give him a little wink, and Buddha down the end over there. This is what is your name, by the way, good sir?
James.
I think I just ignore him and carry on sipping my tea
because he still don't know his name.
He seems.
I check in his collar of his katan, and there it is written in the label in crude biro MP.
By his mum, please return to.
yeah, little address and everything. Bastard, he's got me.
I love it.
Well,
love
it looks like he's named Hem, and this is his PE kit. what it seems like to me.
Amazing.
No, I'm definitely not talking there. I'm just so completely silent.
So she is very amused by the exchange that happens where he kind of ignores you, and she says to you, oh my goodness, he seems like the quiet type, doesn't he? And she sort of chuckles along with you. She says, my name is Irina. No, it's not. Oh my God. Hold on. My name is Alenka.
I was gonna, if it's Irina, wait, I'm fucking Alenka. Shifting.
My name Alenka, is... that happens to be my most favourite name.
Oh, she blushes and holds her hand out for you to...
wait, what's her name?
Greet her. Alenka.
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 And these are my sisters, Mirabelle and Sorvia.
Threesome.
Yeah, I do feel like Lita's setting up a pretty wrong episode. Yeah,
absolutely.
As far as I mean to go on, guys. No. she says, this is our establishment.
Oh, you own this blood on the Nile joint, do you? Is that right?
Blood of the vine tablet.
Blood of the vine.
Yeah, it's what we make of it in this in our beloved land of Barovia. It's, you know, we do our best.
Tell me a little bit about Barovia. You see, we've only just arrived in town, and well, it's different, shall we say, to places we've been before.
We couldn't find it on any map.
Our minds are a little bit foggy.
You were foggy. Nice one. She chuckles again. Huh? That seems to be the story for most travellers that end here. Really, these glasses of
what
wine.
What do you mean,
are...
end here? Whoa, whoa, whoa.
whoa.
Enter here.
Oh, well, okay.
These glasses of wine, though, are a part of our classic Vistani hospitality, are in fact glasses of condolence. Usually when travellers come here, they don't mean to, and they get wrapped up in all sorts of chaos. So consider our hospitality an extension of our grief for your current situation.
I'm not quite sure how to take that, to be honest with you.
Well, why don't you answer a question for me? How did you come to be here?
Well, this kind of ties in with a question that I wanted to ask you, really.
How did we get here?
I was outside my local hometown and happened to chance across a travelling group, if that's not an offensive term, of Peter, gypsies, just like yourself, wearing very similar clothing, and I was wondering if you happen to know them.
I am almost certainly do. Vistani are not a huge group of people, and we do travel inside and outside the borders of Barovia quite often. How did that get you here, may I ask?
Well, I was told to come and search for Lady Morwen by one of the fellas in this camp. The next thing I knew, I woke up in the forest next to these.
So that's not
guys.
That's not quite true.
Okay.
Lady Morwen sent you to clear out the gypsies.
Sorry, in that case.
You asked to look for, well, you were told the story, and it was Madame Eva that
Madame
you
Eva,
were told
sorry.
To. Just to, yeah.
Crack it.
So you mentioned Madame Eva to them.
I also say that, just going by what I've just remembered, we were told is that, I think he told me about Barovia and the prince turned into, yeah, all of that stuff.
Yeah. She nods in recognition. She says, right, so you. He said, you have been told the sad truth of our land, that our prince, our beautiful leader, has been corrupted and therefore corrupts his beloved patrons. His name is Lord von Zarevich. I speak his name out of the deepest respect. Please do not misunderstand that we owe a great debt to our patron and wish him no harm, and neither should you. Yes, what has befallen this land is a great tragedy and a great curse, but it should be very well understood that Lord von Zarevich is the saviour, and we mean to assist, not harm him.
You say this place has been cursed. How exactly?
We Vistani talk in tales and riddles, and we sing the oral tradition of our history, but the truth is that the tale is simply that of a man with a broken heart whose soul clings on to what was taken away from him in his youth, and that desire and that need corrupts all. And everything good that was once in this land has gone rotten. And she actually starts to really, she looks distraught telling this tale.
Can I insight check her? I want to see if when she says things like, don't do him any harm. We don't want to harm him. Whether she's almost being kind of forced to say that. She can't voice her opinions. I want to sort of roll an insight check for that if I can.
Yeah, go for it.
As if Big Brother's looking, I can't say what I need to say type thing, if that makes
is
sense.
Is she under duress?
Right. That's
excellent. Yeah.
Is she
yeah.
wearing
because
a dress?
You couldn't determine all of those things from one insight check, but I can certainly tell you that one answer to that one question.
Okay. I mean, don't worry if you're going by my roll.
What's your roll?
Fucking 3. Although I've got, with my bonus, it's 9, so.
That's made it better. You don't detect anything on her words or in her air or demeanor that is false at this stage.
Okay.
In fact, like the other Vistani you met, she tells a good tale. She's got quite the kind of lyrical way about her. So it's quite captivating. And she looks genuinely sad. Listen, you probably know by now that Barovia isn't an easy place to leave. You have your first night here certainly catered for. In this inn, this land and its people need help in many ways, not just to lift the curse, but also to deal with the horrors that have befallen this land because of the curse. You will find work, you will find money and coin, and certainly if you get on the right side of them, you will find the loyalty of the people of Barovia. But be warned that this is no simple task.
So, Madam Eva.
She is the eldest of our tribe. And when I say the eldest, I mean the eldest of all of the roaming Vistani tribes. You're in luck. She is currently within the walls of Barovia with her tribe. She will be still her encampment, and she gives you kind of a rough description of a road leading west, southwest out of the village, but eventually west out of into the Zavalic woods, which you left previously. And, you know, she gives you the description of a path that you would follow for day, roughly.
Oh, jeez.
And you'll find their encampment.
Is there any particular reason you're being, you know, quite withheld? Yeah, you know, you keep saying there's a curse, and but you're not really saying anything but that. Is there a reason?
What would you want, no... what would you have me say?
Some details. What's the curse? They, you know, why can't
Where
we leave?
Did this curse come from?
Do you really understand how curses work, Carrion?
To some extent, I suppose.
I don't believe you do. I don't wish to be rude. If you were to ask me a question of detail, I'd give you a detailed answer. But right now, you
sound like what's his name? What's his name? The Freeman Dyson or whatever. I was watching an interview with him. He was saying exactly the same thing. Good answer.
Let me give you a hint. Well, okay, you want some detail. Do you know why you can't leave this land?
Well, I've not tried to leave yet, so I suppose, yeah, I don't really know too much about that.
Did you, at any point on your journey, try to go in a different direction from the road that you were on?
Well, we all walked, we did. Yeah, just never quite got anywhere.
Yeah, you got a day exhausted.
She's going to turn to Aranis now and say, what happened to you all?
Well, my neck hurt and I felt a bit tired.
What do you think would have happened if you continued to push through the fog?
Bend in half, perhaps.
Maybe. Do you know what happens to one with more than 3, 4, or 5 points of exhaustion? Well, talking in D&D terms.
Yeah, I've not got that far in the player's handbook yet, but... I heard it's quite shit, and at some point I die. Is that right?
I regret to inform you, yes, it is in fact certain death.
All right, well, I'm off to bed then. Thank you very much.
certain and permanent death. So, though you may... I really do feel for you, gentlemen.
I will reach level 5.
You've made your way all the way to the village of Barovia, from inside the gates of Barovia, I assume. And you've really not learnt much along the way.
I'll just point out I didn't get the exhaustion because I didn't walk.
That's true, yes. That's fine, yeah. She nods to the barkeep who's back now and says, bring these guys the bottle. She really feels for you now.
Okay.
Her sisters at the table behind her have been kind of listening in a bit, keenly looking. One of them actually gets up now and comes over to you. I think you should see Madame Eva. I think she'll clear up a lot for you. It's a sad time, but she looks at her sister and she taps her on the shoulder and she says, "It's getting to dusk." Her sister nods and she says, "Ah, well, you're about to learn something else about our wonderful land." And she looks to the human who's at the other end of the bar and she says, "Ismark, you do the honors." And he kind of looks over, rolls his eyes, walks over to the shutters and closes them up.
Yay, bye.
Goes over to the front door. Closes the shutters. Dims the light. Closes the front door. Puts a bar over
it. I'm going to hold an action to cast light if anything kicks off.
She says, this is simply a safety measure, but if you want to understand some more of our curse, then come with me. And she heads out of the back of the bar.
I'm just going to look at these two.
I'm trying to follow her. Anyway, okay, I put my tea down.
This looks like where the party is. Let's go.
She goes behind.
I'm gonna be like, after you guys.
Behind the bar, there's like a curtained archway that's open. And to the right-hand side, you can see a small kitchen. There's a set of stairs that lead up and go round to the right on a landing. There's a couple of different rooms upstairs, but she leads you into a room at the front of the property, in front of the tavern, where you find yourself looking out of a tall window across the You can actually see the swinging sign from outside of this window. And she says, you know, gather around. There's no light in this room, so you're kind of shrouded. As you sit there patiently, and she guides you to watch outside, you see the light shift and change outside. It's becoming that level darker, as if the sun that is somewhere beyond those clouds has started to make its, you know, final descent for the evening. As Twilight. The light shifts and changes. So you watch as leading from to your left, so out towards the way that you entered the village, right? You start to see shadows kind of wandering up the street. They appear out of nowhere. They appear from shadow. And as they kind of move closer, you start to make out features.
Cliff Richard, there ain't Marvin.
You hear dum 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 dum.
God, this is like the campus Strava run ever, man. It's great.
It's brilliant. You see humanoid figures. They look somewhat translucent, and they walk hunchbacked, sullen, dark, sunken eyes. And as they move closer, more and more join this march, some holding pitchforks.
You'll feel a Basildon reference coming in, man.
Some hold pitchforks, some hold rudimentary weapons. They appear to be a militia of human villagers. They are stony grey. You can kind of see them moving through each other. And when you really look closely, their eyes are so dark and sunken that you can't actually see pupils. At first, you see one or two, and a couple of you instinctively kind of put your hands on a weapon and sort of ready yourself for action. But as the moments pass quicker and quicker, more and more get added to this train of militia until you are watching a sea of humanoid figures trudging across the cobblestones, all heading past the tavern in a westerly direction.
Is it worth doing an insight check on it?
Please, yep, you can do a perception if you want to see. You won't be,
I want to see where they're heading.
All right, perception.
Yeah, everyone roll perception checks.
14. Oh, no. 14? No, sorry, 9.
9, okay.
21.
18.
Right.
And I'm proficient.
Hempy, what you notice is that these people don't appear to be led by any one person. They just sort of all have individual purpose on their own. Okay. And they're all kind of heading in the same direction. And you all notice this.
So they're not like, yeah, then it's not a crowd. It's a bunch of single people moving towards.
Seems that way. It seems like, I mean, they don't appear to be paying any attention to each other whatsoever. Mm. They're in some sort of trance. Yeah. Put it that way. Gav, you rolled an 18.
Mm-hmm.
Notice that, again, these guys are very translucent and you can actually see through one person to the next, and that is very unusual. Whoa. You've seen that before. And ooh. Both of you, Gavin and, Aranis and Carrion, you look towards where they're walking and you suddenly, you think, God, why have I not noticed that before? Off in the distance, the clouds have parted just enough for you to see a shape in the sky, in the distance, a black shadow with multiple towered spires sitting atop a impossibly tall, craggy cliff face, just enough to hold what you now see is a castle above the cloud's edge. You have no idea how anyone would reach it. You have no idea how it was even built there. It's an insane sight to behold. And you see mild flickers of light throughout this crowd where the odd person is carrying a torch and a pitchfork, and they are doing this slow and purposeful trudge. And something in you, Carrion specifically, because you've seen the castle and you've seen the people, you're putting two and two together and saying, well, they're probably heading up there.
Mm.
Alenka notices that you've spotted the castle, and she puts her hands on your shoulders. You took a big breath as if you were going to do something.
Yeah, I was, but I don't know what. I don't know my character well enough.
Cry, Chop.
She simply puts her head on her hand and says, oh, our sweet prince is home. Ooh. Once such a beloved place, but now I fear that he is trapped in his madness up there. And these people, well, they're no longer people. These are simply the spirits left behind from one insane escapade to rid this place of its curse. What you see before you is the shadow, the relic of the last time someone tried to free us all. So you see this curse, even when you try to lift it, it persists.
What exactly happened to them?
So these people, they were lied to. They tried to defeat our beloved prince rather than aid him. And of course, he won. He's far too powerful. He's far too clever. And they perished here. And when you perish here, your soul can never leave, because you can never leave. So they are doomed to repeat this sick escapade every night at dusk, as they did on their last fateful day, led by the idiotic mage and his stupid ideas.
So this prince, you said he was powerful. Is he a wizard? A warlock?
You really have such a lot to understand. He is...
All right.
He is none and all of those things.
I don't know for that, really, is it? Just asking. You, I'm new here.
This is a really good point. She doesn't take kindly to undermining of him.
Yeah, you've just basically walked into North Korea like an American. where's the McDonald's?
Up in the tower, what is that? What's going on up there?
If you can imagine, she's pretty annoying.
She's keeping her cool, though. But yeah, you definitely get that impression. She's like, he is more powerful. He's both a warlock and a wizard and neither. He is undead and living. He is more powerful than any creature I've ever come across in any history. He has lived for, it's hard to tell, millennia, maybe?
That's what they all say, don't they?
Does Hempy say that?
Well, no, but I mean, like, all those Kim Jong-il type characters.
That's what all the brides of Frankenstein say, isn't it? Whatever you want to...
So, does anybody know how to break this curse? Has anyone attempted to break this curse?
Yes. No one knows how to break it. Yes, they've attempted to break it, as these people that you see, and as you kind of look down again after a few minutes, the crowd is thinning. You know, it does end. It doesn't go on all night. There was a man who believed himself to be as powerful, if not more powerful, than our dearest Strahd, and he was so foolish. We tried to tell him. We tried to stop him. The Vistani tried to reason with him. But he gathered what he thought was the strength of the village and the souls of the villagers, and took it upon himself to storm the castle. And guess what? He lost. I think what is maybe not... I really feel for you guys. I think that you are, like many travellers that have come here before, you are stuck in a situation that you can't get out of. But as you can't get out of it, I think you... are best to embrace it. If you don't wish to try to lift the curse, then stay, make your lives here, help the Barovians, become Barovian yourself. You know, you can have a good life here.
So how do we lift this curse then?
Nobody knows. So we don't know how to lift the curse. Someone's tried to kill. Did you say it was Strahd?
Yes, Strahd von Zarevich.
Strahd von Zarevich. Wow. And everybody has that person failed. So I say, let's find the nearest whorehouse, get fucked up, and shag.
I'm going to leave you with something before you guys kind of have your evening meal and take to your room. You are currently in the village of Barovia, yes?
Mm-hmm.
You have yet to understand the vastness of Barovia, which I think might help you understand the vastness of this curse. And I'm just going to flip you over to a very brief, because I don't want you to get too many spoilery things, map of the essentially continent of Barovia. Can you guys see that?
Shit. Okay.
The village you're in is here.
Holy shit. Okay, it's tiny.
We're here, and this is Barovia. Right, so...
Okay. What is it in the east, south, west?
If you follow... Can you see the old Svalik road? So east east side of the map, old Svalik road. I can see where you're pointing there.
That
is the village you're
That's where we are.
Oh, it's tiny.
And we came in from the east.
Yes. Yeah. And then one more point of reference for you. This is the village that you're in. Right here is the inn.
Okay.
Right in the middle of town.
What direction are they marching in? From east
to
west?
East to west.
East to west.
So I'm guessing we shouldn't go out at night at the moment.
I would advise against it.
Yeah,
certainly.
Is there a reason all the doors were closed and the windows were shut?
Don't be fooled. There are residents here. They are wise to stay indoors most of the time. It's like a pandemic, I've just realised. They avoid the many curses and plagues that befall this land because of Strahd's ailment. You wanted detail. Curses such as spirits, undead creatures.
Undead, you say?
Undead. Wonderful. Surely you're familiar with
the
concept of undead.
Absolutely. I've been reading my character sheet.
Let's just say that this entire land is dangerous, and you really should find both the understanding of its danger and friendships and allies as soon as you possibly can.
Yeah, like an apothecary who understands the sitch.
So if we were to attempt to assist, or maybe... the inevitable task of the help, you know, overcoming this problem that Barovia has. Would you have any suggestions on someone to talk to, a place to start?
The very first person I would speak to is Madame Eva. She understands the past, present, and future. If there is any hope for you to do what you claim or what you appear to want to achieve in leaving this land, then she would know.
Then first thing in the morning, I will make my way to Madame. I know where she's told me roughly where I'm going for
yes,
that.
Yes, she can tell you again as well. She's very open with that information. Very open.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, everything starts tomorrow. So, Alenka, Sovia, and Mirabal, thank you for your time.
Mirabal.
I just imagine it with like Mirabal.
She's a spinning disco ball head. She curses. And the light shines and passes in your eyes. 10D dinner. What a spell, Mirabal. That's amazing.
I cast light and we have a fucking good night.
Okay.
As far as I'm concerned, yeah, that's me. I've got everything I need to know tonight.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Anything else you'd like to do before you head to bed?
Finish my tea.
You have a lovely cup of tea. Many. Lovely. You've got a pot there.
Roll a constitution saving throw.
It's nice actual tea this time, not like mud in the mug. This guy's a little bit more classy, just a little bit more understanding. I'll do it.
Cool.
So you bed down for the evening. I am going to pause or end our first episode there.
Bye.
Wonderful.
We'll catch you guys on the next one.
From all of us here at the Dice and Die, thank you so much for downloading our podcast. If you enjoy listening to us, then please head over to iTunes, Stitcher or Podchaser.com and leave us a review. Thank you to our very own James Bly for all the music you hear during our shows. And finally, thank you to, me, this is awkward, for all your video production, audio editing and content creation needs. Head over to my website, shawneefilms.co.uk. Thank you once again, and we'll see you next time. The Dice and Die is unofficial fan content permitted under the fan content policy and is not approved or endorsed by Wizards. Portions of the materials used are property of Wizards of the Coast, LLC.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to Roleplay Retcon Studios, located at the nexus of all alternate universes, including the sexy vampire ones.
Ooh.
At Roleplay Retcon, we remake famously disappointing movies using comedy, hindsight, and tabletop RPGs.
Like Dungeons and Dragons?
Yes, but specifically not Dungeons and Dragons. We take a second pass at guilty pleasures like Batman and Robin or Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, and even some controversial favorites like Twilight.
But I love those movies.
We do too, and all of the movies we do have something to love. If they didn't, there would be nothing to reimagine. At the end of each series, we compare our vision to the original films, because why the f*** not?
I can't wait to listen to Roleplay Retcon, wherever podcasts are available.
I'm gonna listen to it before you do.
Hi guys, it's Luke. Very quick intro before the episode starts this week. You're about to hear an advert. Never done this before, but it's basically a favour. A podcast I listen to called The Billowing Hilltop. Great bunch of guys, and I've become quite friendly with their GM, Mike, over the past couple of months as we've been growing and going through this journey together, him with his podcast, us with ours, and I love their show. So they've put a little promo together. And I said I'd play it at the beginning of our show. If you like how they sound, they're similar to us, maybe a bit more serious, but they've got a great little homebrew world. Now, I'd highly recommend checking them out. It's The Billowing Hilltop. Please, please, please do. Once you've finished listening to us, our episode, and you've loved it, and then you've gone and reviewed it, obviously, because, of course, why wouldn't you? Go have a look. Whatever app you're using, Spotify, whatever, have a little search for The Billowing Hilltop and check out my friends. Thank you very much. Enjoy the episode.
We're going to give it another go. It's a bit more zing. A bit of zing.
A bit of zing.
Yeah. Ready? Hello.
Hello.
With a hello.
No.
Wait till I get through the whole thing. Ready? Hello with a billowing hilltop.
Hello.
Oh,
dear.
Waiting to get through the whole thing.
No, I mean...
I thought that was the whole thing.
The whole thing is hello with a billowing hilltop. Okay. That's the whole thing.
Yeah? Okay. That was right.
That pretty much sums up the show. But if you want to find out any more, you can visit us at www.billowinghilltop.com. Is it com? Does anybody know?
.org.
Is it?
It's .com.
What do we do? What do we play?
There's monsters.
Does anybody remember?
Walking around.
I don't know.
And
we will be delighted if you were to join us around our table as we play Dungeon. Is it 5th edition? Hello?
Yeah, we think so. Yeah.
Yes.
We play Dungeons & Dragons.
In the background?
Sorry, that was me.
What was that noise in the background? There will be noises in the background as we play Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition through the classic Paizo adventure path, The Age of Worms. You can expect this.
No!
Quite a bit of this.
I'm completely lost.
This.
Bleh.
This.
I've got a bugbear in my underpants.
And one of these.
Oh dear.
We're on Apple Podcasts and we're on Spotify and we're on TuneIn, and you can find us on Twitter and you can find us on Facebook, and we hope you join us. Thanks very much.